Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host, and I've also written two books, The Misquotable C.S. Lewis and an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters entitled C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. On the show today is Dr. Jennifer Woodruff Tate, who is the managing editor of Christian History Magazine. She is here to tell about the Grand Miracle Advent Devotion that is a joint venture between the Christian History Institute and the Marion E. Wade Center of Wheaton College. Well, now, let's start off by having you first briefly tell about the two groups that produced the booklet, The Grand Miracle, Daily Reflections for the Season of Advent.
Well, it's a joint production from Christian History Institute, the publisher of Christian History Magazine, and the Wade Center at Wheaton College, which collects the work of C.S. Lewis and a number of other related authors.
All right, now, how did the idea for this booklet come about?
Well, some years ago, the Wade Center and Christian History collaborated on our issue 113, which was on the authors that the Wade Center collects, Lewis, Tolkien, and others. And we always talked about the idea that we might do something else. And our Bill Curtis, our CEO at Christian History Institute, was very into the idea of a devotional. And so one thing led to another, and we decided that it would be great to collaborate on a devotional, and that Advent was a good event to focus it around so that it had a focus that we could work on.
Well, now, why were the writers for the devotion selected that were included?
Well, we wanted to find people who themselves had been inspired in their own Christian faith by the writings of Lewis and Tolkien and Sayers and MacDonald and the other authors collected by the Wade, and also who had done scholarship on them, and also who could write devotionally in such a way that they could use the quotes from Lewis and friends to bring people into a sense of prayer and a sense of preparation for the birth of Christ. And some of the people that we asked were unable to do it. That always happens when you're querying for a magazine. But we ended up with a really wonderful selection of people who combine a deep Christian faith with a deep devotion to the writers at the Wade, and who are really able to help people come at the writings prayerfully.
Well, now, go ahead, Jennifer, and share some of the names of who was included in this. Let me just do a disclaimer that I was honored to be asked to participate.
There are a number of names that may be familiar to people. Diana Glier, who's the author of Bandersnatch. Marjorie Lamp Mead, who is the assistant director at the Wade Center, and both of the directors there, Crystal and David Downing. I wrote one myself as the editor of Christian History. Jennifer Trafton, who's a MacDonald scholar and a children's book author. Michael Ward, who is famous for Planet Narnia and a number of other books. And I could go on and on because there are 28.
Well, that's fine. Well, now, these devotions were based on a scripture verse and a quotation from the seven authors featured at the Wade Center, as you mentioned, plus one additional author. Tell us who they are for those who may not recall. And could you maybe pick two or three verses and quotations that were included? And tell us about the selection process for those verses and quotes.
Okay, so the authors that are collected at the Wade are Lewis and Tolkien and Sayers, who I've already mentioned, MacDonald, Chesterton, Charles Williams, and Owen Barfield. And we also have one quote from Joy Davidman. Some of her writings are part of the Lewis collection. And what we did was we compiled, Marjorie Mead and I compiled a list of quotes with possible scriptures, and we presented them to potential authors. And they were allowed to select their own quote. And if they didn't like the scripture that we came up with, they were allowed to select another scripture that they thought would go with the quote. We tried to focus on short quotes because it's a small booklet that had a devotional slant. But we had a list of 40 or 50 quotes in the end. And then our devotional writers looked at those and picked the ones that they resonated with the most. I just happened to turn here to the one from Joy Davidman Lewis, which is, "If we should ever grow brave, what on earth would become of us?" Which we paired with the quote from the angel coming to Mary when she says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Another quote that we used from the letters of Tolkien about when he was writing about the incarnation, he writes, "The incarnation of God is an infinitely greater thing than anything I would dare to write." We paired that with 1 Corinthians, "God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength." And finally, one of our quotes from Lewis. The Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. And we paired that with a scripture from Luke 2, where the angel says, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. So there's a great variety of quotes and of scripture passages.
Go ahead and select, if you could, a couple of devotions themselves to read at least part of the readings.
Well, I'll actually read the first one, which will give people a good idea of how we hope that the devotional will prepare you for Advent. And this is by Diana Pavlik-Guyer, who has written Bandersnatch and other books about Tolkien and Lewis. The quote on this one is, we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us, from Letters to Malcolm. The verse says, the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. The Nativity is an extraordinary story with angel choruses on one side and wise men bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh on the other. And into this grand and supernatural scene, God calls forth a group of shepherds, men with calloused hands, men who smell of livestock and open fields. In the midst of so much majesty, what do such ordinary everyday people as shepherds have to offer? Perhaps they brought along a lamb, a blanket, a lantern for the stable, or some food for the weary travelers. We are not told. But we do know this. The shepherds hastened to be present. They hurried to respond to what they had been given. They opened their hearts. They stood dumbfounded, witness to the miracle. Then they lingered. As I prepare for Christmas, as I purchase gifts for family and friends, I wonder how I might follow their example, tuning my heart to hear angel voices, allowing my routines to be interrupted by the divine, gaining wisdom to lay aside all else to behold the face of God, and finding the courage to come to Jesus just as I am. In Letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer, C.S. Lewis reminds us of the appropriateness of the shepherd's gifts. Whatever else they may have brought to the stable, they laid aside their plans and chose to present themselves to Emmanuel, God with us. In this busy Advent season, what does the Lord require of me? To be alert to the ways that the supernatural breaks through into my very ordinary life, to respond quickly to what I see and hear, to be no more and no less than who I truly am, and to discover, to my utter astonishment, that that is exactly the gift that my Lord God, King of the universe, has been waiting for. We conclude with a one-sentence prayer, Lord, prepare my heart this Advent. Amen. I will go on and read one more, which is mine. The quote is from George MacDonald's Unspoken Sermons. All things are possible with God, but all things are not easy. And the scripture is from Luke 2, the latter part of Luke 2, the presentation in the temple. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Jesus' mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Christmas is coming, the secular world says. Time to put up the decorations, plan the parties, buy and wrap the gifts. Christmas is coming, the church says. Time to hold the pageants and sing the joyful songs. Yet for many at this season, both the world's cheer and the church's eager excitement are difficult. The days speak to us of past sorrows, such as the death of loved ones, or future fears about family and jobs and the state of this tumultuous world. It's easy to think of the beautiful moment captured in many nativity scenes, adoring mother, peaceful child, and forget that Mary had to cope not only with all the usual troubles of child raising, but with danger, displacement, and even prophecies that reminded her that her adorable baby boy would end up as a sign of political and spiritual turmoil. She probably knew that the last line of Simeon's prophecy meant she would outlive her son. George MacDonald's art, too, was born from suffering. He struggled with health problems from childhood, fought with his congregation, and for much of his life was short of money. He knew the same soul-piercing sword as the Virgin Mary, outliving four of his children and one granddaughter. Today we might remember that we serve a Christ who came as Mary's helpless baby so that he could understand our suffering. With that Christ, all things are possible, and he walks with us. Dear Jesus, thank you for being with me always, even when things are not easy. I commit my sorrows into your hand as I await your coming. Amen.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, those are very good, two good selections, and I hope that gives people a great sampling in a few minutes. Not right now. We'll have you tell us about where people can Get a copy, and I believe online. I don't know if this will be always, but there is a very excellent preview where people can actually see all of them, and then as well as the information to order, we'll have you share that shortly. But at the start, you told us a little bit about the Christian History Institute and the Mary Neid Wade Center. Go ahead now and take a few minutes to tell more about each.
The Christian History Institute, which I work for, was founded in the 1980s by Ken Curtis, who was president of Vision Video, and discovered as he was advertising and selling Christian films to churches that many of the people that he was talking to did not know a lot about what had happened in the history of the church. They knew Jesus, they knew the Bible, they knew the problems of the present day, but they really didn't have a good sense of how people in the past had responded to those problems and how believers in the past had walked with Christ. And so, one by one, at first sort of irregularly, he began publishing magazines to go along with his videos. Eventually, this became a quarterly publication. And when I was a freshman sophomore in college, I remember reading it. They were at about issue 30 at that point. Dr. Curtis had other things he was doing, and so he sold the magazine to Christianity Today, who published 74-75 wonderful issues. And then they went a different direction, and the rights reverted back to Christian History Institute, who picked it up with issue 100, and we're about to issue number 132, which is on spiritual friendship, very relevant to Lewis and his friends, and is going strong and has been a benefit to people all over the world who want to learn in everyday language about the history of the Christian church. The Wade Center has been at Wheaton for a long time. In the 1950s, before C.S. Lewis died, Clyde Kilby, who was a professor there, visited Lewis himself and made arrangements for some of Lewis's papers to come to the Wade. The Wade continued to collect papers related to Lewis, to the people that had influenced him, like Chesterton and MacDonald, and to his friends, like Barfield, Williams, Sayers, Tolkien, and of course, Joy Davidman, who became his wife. And then in the 70s, a businessman named Marion Wade gave a large donation to enable the work of the center to go forward, and that's why it's called the Wade Center today. And so it's open for everyone from Wheaton students to very renowned scholars to go to the Wheaton campus and learn more about the writings of Lewis and Tolkien and their friends and their influences.
And I definitely encourage people, they can go, let's see, I guess it's wheaton.edu for people that can learn more about the Mary Neid Wade Center. And go ahead, even though we're going to ask about getting a copy where they can go, it'll be the same address, but go ahead and share the address for the Christian History Institute.
It's christianhistoryinstitute.org. Which is hard to spell, but that's our name. And if you type that in, that'll take you to our main page where you can get to the magazine, the store, and many other things.
Okay. Well, now, there are 4 weeks or 28 devotions in the Grand Miracle, Daily Reflections for the Season of Advent. And it's the first one is dated for November the 28th. And as we're recording in 2019, that'll happen to be Thanksgiving. Now, why was it decided to use a date versus numbering the devotions?
We wanted there to be 28, first of all, because in churches that celebrate the Christian year, which I'm Anglican, so that would be one of them, there can be up to 4 full weeks of Advent before Christmas, and that often means that Advent begins in November. So Advent calendars, what you might get at the store that have chocolate in them that start with December 1st, we're Catholics, Anglicans, Lutherans, we're already into Advent for a few days. So we decided to have a full 28, and then once we had done that, it just seemed natural to date them. But people can use it however they like. They can skip around if it's a shorter season of Advent. They can start with December 1st. They can use it however they like. But it was an easy way to keep track of them.
And then, of course, people can be totally unconventional and they can reflect on the birth of Christ any time during the year with these 28 devotions as well.
Oh, yeah. It was inspired by Advent, but it's not tied to Advent.
Well, now, let's go ahead and give people a few more details then, if they're when they go to the website, how they can locate to get a copy of this devotion.
So if you go to the Christian History Institute website right now, it's actually featured on our homepage, but if you happen to be hearing this and find that it's not, You can go to our store, which is very clearly indicated on the homepage, and to the section for books, and you'll be able to find it there and order a copy. And if you order, if you're ordering it for a study group and order more than, I think, 25 copies, there are actually discounts. So if you're ordering it for a church or a study, it'd be good to order them all together.
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think as it's, as you order more, there is a discount and stuff. So people can, of course, go to the website for that information. And I'll have a direct link in the show notes to getting it, as well as to the Christian History Institute and the Mary Need Wade Center. Well, now, in closing then, Jennifer, go ahead and summarize why the Grand Miracle Daily Reflections for the Season of Advent will be a useful tool for the listener.
Well, one of the things that impressed me, because I served as one of the main editors of the booklet in addition to writing a devotion, Marjorie Mead and I worked very closely with editing everyone's, it's just the spiritual depth of the reflections. We were working with them for a while individually, working with a devotion, picking a picture, and then we got to the point where we were proofing it, and I sat down and read it start to finish, and I cried. The quotes that have been chosen from Lewis, Tolkien, Sayers, Williams, the others, are wonderful, meaningful quotes. Some of them have been personally meaningful to me in my own spiritual journey, and the quality of the reflections. There's some people with just deep faith and really great knowledge of these authors who are able to take these quotes and make them be something that really forces us to look into ourselves and think about what Christ means to us and to prepare for his birth. So I found it a very spiritually powerful experience.
Yes, indeed. I have copies myself here. I've only taken the time to read a few, but I was very, very impressed by the other readings. And I believe that people will also, as you say, benefit from them greatly. So we do encourage people to check this out. There'll be, again, a link in the show notes to get more information, as well as you can preview each and every one of the devotions to get a better sample. One of the things, I'm not sure if you had emphasized it very much or you were just mentioning it now, that also on each page is a lovely picture that ties in with the devotion as well. Well, Jennifer, thank you again for being on All About Jack.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
I want to also thank you, the listener, for your interest in my podcast, All About Jack, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I trust you will consider buying a copy of The Grand Miracle, and to help you do that, I have a direct link in my show notes to make it easy for you. I also have a link to the other interview I did with Jennifer back in 2015 on that special issue, Seven Literary Sages. You'll also find links in my show notes to the Christian History Institute and the Marion E. Wade Center. Speaking of those notes, you can find them at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this show, but it also could be easier to locate the notes where the audio files are hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. At either location, you can find various podcasts, which typically feature interviews to authors of books about Lewis, but I've also done an occasional series about a specific Lewis essay, as well as a special series on Why Read Lewis, among other shows. You can also listen to All About Jack via iTunes. If you don't know how to do that, then check the show notes for a direct link and consider rating my show there, as well as sharing this podcast with others. Before ending, let me also remind you again about the two books I've published. The most recent is called The Misquotable C.S. Lewis. It explores 75 questionable quotations and talks about why you shouldn't share Lewis quotes unless you know he really said them. I also reveal the closest things Lewis said related to the questionable saying, which I examine, and relate the fun I had tracking the quotes down. I have also written an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters that is called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. You can learn more about that book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Purchasing either of my books is a great way to indirectly support this podcast and to make sure it remains freely available. Also, there is a link in the show notes where you can find the latest sales on Lewis books, as well as his books in general and books related to him. Purchasing through this link also helps support me. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.